My name is Blue. I come from a traveling background. I guess it could be like associated with a new age traveling era. The community of people, like my parents, for example, both come from working class backgrounds, quite normal, straight houses. They did, but it was during the last conservative era of Margaret Thatcher. So they were young people dealing with the sort of Thatcher regime, not happy with how the Conservatives were running the country and restricting their freedoms. And I guess, yeah, just kind of like rebelling against the nuclear family kind of like existence of working every day until you're 70 and then you get a pension and then you can enjoy your life. It was sort of like, no, well, we're here now. A lot of people, young people, after the Battle of Beanfields and things like that, moved out of the UK when Margaret Thatcher was in power and went to Europe.
Okay, so the idea that people are living in vehicles, I think a lot of the mass media does try and put this across as a bit of a lifestyle choice, whereas for actually, it seems to me anyway, over the last decade or so, quite a lot more people have been having to do that. They've been forced to do it, really, either because they haven't been able to pay rent, and we've got a housing crisis on our hands. We've got, you know, just in Bristol, between 15 and 20,000 people homeless. And so obviously, if you're going to actually try and get a roof over your head, one of the cheapest ways to do it is just get a vehicle. So anyway, can you just give us an idea of the sorts of people who are having to live in vehicles nowadays, and some out of choice and some not out of choice?
Yeah, it is definitely it's a response to unaffordable housing. It can be anyone and everyone. There's people who are nurses, there's people who are who are building up houses and infrastructure across the country. There's people who work in all different kinds of social work, care work, teachers, forestry people, tree surgeons, I think that what it boils down to is the fact that like housing has become so unaffordable. But also, there's something going on at the moment which is like destroying nature and moving us like nature destruction, lack of connection to nature and being outside. And I think people just want to be reconnected with the like feeling of being in the world. Like when you're just in a house, you like, and we felt it so much recently as well with corona, like just being in your house, it's not healthy. And I think sometimes it's also, yeah, it might be a lifestyle choice, but actually it's actually not that good for people to be living inside these boxes and in these houses. We should be outside a lot more.
Well, yeah, and also we've seen obviously most of them, well, a lot of the new build is in these tiny little houses with small rooms. We've also had an enormous change in the way that existing housing's being used, with, you know, houses being knocked into maybe four or five flats, you know, so that the living space that people have got is much, much smaller than the house was originally designed for. So can you just tell me where you think this is all heading? Because I've certainly seen a big increase in the number of people living in vehicles. Just, you know, since I've been in Bristol, which is what now about 25 years or something, more and more and more people living like this.
Yeah. Well, like it's definitely a symptom of a lack of being looked after in social spaces and care. And there's just like, there's not enough help going around for people. So what it is just people trying to find for people to be, like using forms of self-preservation, and they're trying to make sure that their lives are, that they're safe, or that they can carry on in this world. You know, they're trying to live where there's not many other options being provided for them. And being homeless is something that's now being seen as like a criminal offence with the new bill. And I don't know, I just don't think that, like, I can't believe that we're going into a direction where we feel like we should be criminalizing people's acts of self-preservation.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, that so this action that took place on Tuesday under this sort of loose headings, really, like the resist anti-trespass and the right to reside. The idea, I think, it was that it was going to be a peaceful protest. Can you just tell us what happened?
So it was a national call out across, you know, a decentralized sort of like online call out for people who were in support or who are in support of right to roam and freedom to be on the land and just questioning our access to land. And that's like natural landscapes as well as city landscapes. And so that's what it was. It was a show of like, because what this bill is, it was a separate issue. The anti-trespass law has been discussed for a while now, and they've rolled it in with the crime sentencing bill, this new one that they did that like a few weeks ago. And it's just like, it feels almost like they're trying to get loads of things in this bill so that at least something's going to be put forwards, because they're overwhelming us with quite upsetting things. And so that day was just for people to come together from the traveling Gypsy Romani communities as well. But there wasn't as many Gypsy Romani people there in Bristol on that day, because like a lot of the people that we stand in solidarity with a lot of the people that were there on the day, I think, are like just new travelers, maybe a lot more of that kind of stuff. But it's just people and homeless people. And we were just standing in support and solidarity. Anyone who came was standing in support and solidarity for the homeless. We were trying to exercise our right to spend one night on the land, because this new bill is saying that if you have an intention, if you even think about sleeping somewhere and you've got a sleeping bag on you, you could be done for criminal, for trespassing.
So this is like just literally one night to stay, say, by the side of the road, as I think, you know, we've had travelling communities doing that ever since, well, however many thousand BC.
Yeah, totally. It's one night by the road, and it could just be your intent to do so as well. That's what it says in the bill, which is even more like scary language as well. Again, it's sort of like even just intending to be there, the thought of it could land you in trouble. But
yeah, I mean, so you know, or whatever, kind of in possession of a sleeping bag, that's becoming like an offence.
Yeah, especially in cities and things. You know, they can see that, they can then go, okay, he's intending to sleep somewhere on the street tonight, and let's just get him locked up and put him away. And that's just like, I don't really know where this is going. I don't really know why this is seems to be like an acceptable or necessary way forward to tackle homelessness. I feel like there should be other options.
Well, I'm sure there are loads of other options, like the council owns plenty of land, the government owns plenty of land. They could make this available. But anyway, can you just take us through what happened yesterday?
Yes, I want to talk you through that. So, you know, everyone arrived. And that was like, I think in the end, it was no more than 200 people at its peak. Throughout the day, people were coming. We had children there. There was families. There was different people with different stations. So some people had brought soup and food. Other people had brought stencil making equipment and spray paints and doing making stickers with like different kind of slogans, raising awareness about what this trespass law means. And then like different signs, like kind of just raising awareness. And there were people there who were liaisoning with the police throughout the day, talking with the police liaison officers throughout the day. And initially, immediately actually, having spoken to the police, everyone said we're staying for one night. It's a one night occupation. We're reclaiming the night ourselves as well. We're showing solidarity for each other, for women on the streets, for us on the streets, we're going to keep this a safe and peaceful space. And they said, that's fine. They were even like, if you need toilets, if you need water, if you need resources or anything like that, we can help provide that for you. Just ask. So we said, okay, yeah, maybe toilets might be useful. But that had been agreed on. And then And that was what was frustrating, because it was sort of like, it was a positive day. We were left to be in, like, to be relaxed throughout the day. We were talking and discussing and staying in touch and keeping in base with them, making sure that nothing was getting out of hand. Everyone was helping kind of keep each other in check. When the music, we had speakers as well. So there was all speakers there. Everyone who came was speaking, talking about their experiences being travelers or gypsies or Romani, and what it meant, why it was important, what, you know, where are we going, and just thinking about all these things. Even when the some points people were standing and the music might have been getting a bit, you know, excitable, everyone kind of remind each other that we were here to listen to the speakers, that this was an educational event, that this was a peaceful event, and that really, if we wanted to remain, we'd have to, like, really think about staying seated, trying to remain distanced, keeping their masks up, being safe. There was antibacterial hand wash around campsite that people brought, so like we did put everything in place to have a peace. Told we were allowed. We had spoken just before, and the liaison officer said, "Await two proper officers, so not the blue in yellow. Await them, and they will like carry on through the night, just talking with you and like being in contact with the head office." So they said, "Await two officers." So they went off, and then next thing we know, we've got 100 or so police, riot police circling us. And I've just watched a video recently, and the guy was like, you were told you were only allowed to stay here for an hour, and that was a few hours ago. Or you told us you were only going to stay here for an hour, and that was a few hours ago. Now we're going to remove you with force. We're coming. And it's like, no, we'd agreed with the police, whoever had agreed, or as a collective, that it was a one night and that we were allowed to stay there. We were given that permission, so we were relaxed. Everyone was relaxed, at ease. And there was a lot of people who were there who were only there for peaceful. I mean, we were all there for peaceful things. But there were some people who, like, had they known that riot police were coming, they would have packed up and gone. And, like, they wouldn't have, you know, some people may have carried on occupying. Some people would have wanted the chance to get out, and we were not provided that opportunity. We were not given a prior warning. It was like from 0 to 1,000,000 miles or 100 miles in a very short space of time. And they trampled over everyone's belongings. They like didn't, without regard to there being a person in there, without regards to the vigil, they trampled across the whole vigil and just smashed it up. They came and ripped everything, like all of the banners and things like around us. They just ripped it up and flipped the table that had all this information and education for people. They just came in very aggressive very quickly and didn't give us a chance to pack up our things. So they dispersed quite a lot of people at that point, their first kind of like charge. They did manage to disperse quite a lot of people. It remained peaceful. That's when we split up. So then that's when the group split up, and half of the people went down onto Deanery Lane. And then the rest of them stayed up on top on College Green. And from there, we all got bin bags. Everyone got bin bags and started cleaning up the ground, because we were like, we're not going to leave this in a state where photographers can use this narrative that travelers are messy and dirty. So we were like talking to the police, like, please, can you allow us to tidy up? Please, can you allow us to pack up our things? Like, and they just were unresponsive until they just charged us again. And they just weren't really allowing us to sort of like have a way to move out without them aggressively moving us. And I think they had this assumption that we were going to be violent, and they were trying to incite some kind of violence from us with their aggression. And everyone was peaceful throughout. And there was a lot of upset people who left feeling really heartbroken at the fact that, like, throughout all of our peace, we were still getting beaten. So there was a lot of, yeah, so like there was a lot of like women being dragged out. They would like just getting onto people's bodies and like just bruising a lot of people and things like that. There was just a lot of force, excessive force, using their shields to bash people in the face. There's people with broken noses, there's people who have been hospitalized tonight. And I just think, like, it's funny that on Sunday, and this is like, you know, completely separate, you know, okay, yes, we're protesting our right to protest as well as everything, but this was to raise awareness for traveller and Gypsy and Romani communities who are not being spoken about right now. This conversation is being forgotten about. This is a peaceful protest where we wanted to showcase the community that we have and that we are, and what communities is built from living on the road and living in different unusual kind of spaces and making the most out of buildings that have been thrown away from society. You know, all these things, people who care and come together and like make something out of nothing. That's a lot of what the ethos is about. And it's beautiful. And that's something that we wanted to really like showcase. Everyone wanted to represent the traveling Gypsy and Romani communities in the best way that we could.
Do you think that there's some sort of, it sounds to me almost like a kind of act of vengeance for the attack on the Bridewell police station on Sunday?
Yes. I think they're obviously very frustrated and upset with what happened on Sunday, and they're angry. And I think there's been repeated instances of this in the past. I think someone had, I wasn't in Bristol at the time. I have not been in Bristol for that long, but the Stokescroft riots. And then someone who was there had said that like 2 weeks or a week later, there was a gathering of 200 people, and at the riots, the police, whatever happened there, but then 2 weeks later, a week later, where there was another gathering, they did come in very heavy handed. And it was a kind of similar thing of like, you've humiliated us. Now we respond to that humiliation the next event that happens.
But I suppose the main question really is, if you're going to be treated like this, a peaceful demonstration, what were the police saying? What's the reason for doing this? Or was there a reason given?
There was a reason given. I just wanted to say, I just find it interesting that more people were arrested last night than there were on Sunday. There were a lot more police officers. I just find that quite interesting. But anyway, you know, like on Sunday, there was not half the amount of officers called in. What that means, I don't know. I just find it quite frustrating that it's become this big, they've sensationalized the narrative quite quickly. As long as they've got more arrests than Sunday, it's immediately going to make us look bad. And it just seems like a big narrative that they, like the police just want to play into the media's narrative. That's all they seem to care about at this point.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the coverage has been, you know, the protesters are not really explaining what the protest is about at all. I mean, it's a bit like, you remember with the various strikes in the past, you know, what they do is there's a strike, but they won't tell anyone about what the strike is about at all. Anyway, so what were the reasons given by the police for coming in so hard? I mean, you know, you've been negotiating with them and then suddenly they changed their mind.
Yeah, so it was about the coronavirus regulations. And this is the main point that we have in response to that is that we demand that they, if they're going to put forward legislations that are going to change people's lives so dramatically, they cannot do it when we're not allowed to protest. They have to wait. They're lifting next week, for example. You can't just push through legislations that are that detrimental to people's human rights without us being able to stand up and say something about it. That's basically my response.
No, well, I can totally understand. I mean, it almost just looks as if this is being sort of smuggled in under the COVID regulations.
They were saying, you know, the reasoning for evicting us was the regulations of COVID. Yet they were ripping off people's face masks. And I just think if it's really about corona, you wouldn't then be putting people at risk by ripping off their masks.
Well, it's a bit difficult to justify, for health reasons, breaking somebody's nose with a riot shield.
Yes.
A bit difficult in the court, I think, if any of this does come to court. And in many ways, I hope it does, because, you know, it seems very much a challengeable decision, maybe made by, you know, emotionally. But anyway, can you just give us an idea of what this would mean for you and others that were there if this Priti Patel law goes through?
It means the disintegration of a lot of communities. It means like people are going to have a harder time to find spaces and places to be, come together and to gather and to share knowledge and skills and stories and just all the very human things. Like for me personally, I lost my mum last year, and if it wasn't for the amazing community that I have, so many friends and families through this community across the UK. I've got many mothers, I've got many different types of father figures and brothers and sisters that aren't blood, but they may as well be. And I just think like that is something that people are, the those who don't know that and are born into quite normal everyday, whatever normal means, there's no such thing as normal, but just into a house and da 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 and da 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 and da da da, there can be a massive amount of loneliness. There's a massive amount of loneliness in our society and in our community, in our world, in England. And I just think that it's been a massive antidote to people feeling lonely and depressed and like they have no, you know, like families just having kids as a pair, as a mum, a dad and a child, and you're expected to hold all of that and work jobs and all of these things. It's really difficult. If you've got a family of 50 people in different vehicles and you've got a site or you've got wherever, you've got multiple parents who help you raise your children, and the children help each other raise their children. And that's something that has proven to be so powerful that I just feel that it would be a really sad thing for us to lose the chance to even do that. And it's just like, whether you want to or not, just to have the option is really important.
Now, it's the first time I've come across this slogan, if you want, the right to reside. Why have you called it that? Or why do you associate that slogan with what you're doing?
Our right to reside. Because in the bill, it says specifically the intent to reside is what they're criminalising. So that's why it was also thinking about the Right to Roam organisation, and that's like a few really cool people that we've been in contact with as well, and we totally agree with everything that the Right to Roam was about. But the Right to Roam was brought out a couple of years ago, before pre-pandemic. They've been doing work in that section, but it's mainly focused at sort of like land ownership, land rights, public walkways, access to land, in those kind of ways. It's not very, it doesn't really actually address the traveller, gypsy, Romani culture at all. So we've been in contact with the people who are part of that organisation. We've been talking to them, and they were saying, yeah, this is something that we're struggling with, is to like, so they wrote an MP letter and everything as well. It didn't cover anything to do with Romani gypsy travellers. So we were like, okay, we like the Right to Roam is really important, blah, 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 but we're a little bit more specific on what it is that they're, who it is that they're attacking here. And that these are like big cultures and like communities of people.
Yeah, and one of the other peculiarities about this, I was really surprised to read on the Travellers Times website that the police have been saying to the Travellers Times that they don't actually feel that there's a need for a change in the law, which I find incredible.
Yeah, there is enough already in place. There's enough force in place. There are enough rules in place at the moment that does feel very true. And it's nice to hear that the police feel that way as well. And that's the thing, is like, I don't think that the police are bad people. Like at the end of the day, they're just human beings. They just need to start questioning what is that they're being told to do. And actually, this is another thing. A lot of the police officers, when you question them about whether they know what the bill is, they don't seem to know, unless they're not willing to talk to us about it. But it's like, do you understand what the changes in this bill are? Have you read this change in the bill? Do you get it? Do you understand?
Well, I think you probably say the same for a lot of journalists, and certainly most of the public haven't got a clue what's in this. And this is interesting, isn't it? What you were saying about them rolling these various bills all into one. The idea is that let's get us all quick quickly through before anyone notices what's happening. But look, I'd just like if you could wind up by explaining how you think the policies could change for the better to actually, you know, better enable people who are living in vehicles, travellers, gypsies, roamers, etc., to, you know, actually get what they want. And that is to say, I suppose, safe sites of some sort, places that they can go where they know they're safe with the kids, etc., without feeling like they're, you know, criminals.
Yes, exactly. Safe sites. That needs to be prioritised. It needs, it's sort of like, we can't just have one form or a life way of living in this world and in our society. And it's not, you know, it is an ancient nomadic right to travel in that way and to be moving. It's where all human beings have come from in the past, many, 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 many generations ago. Most of humanity was a nomadic peoples. And I just don't want us to forget that. I think the policies that could be changed is more affordable housing. I think that there should be, like land available for people that is that can be stated as permanent and that are secure. That's the main issue, is that like things are so transient and you're constantly being evicted and moved on. And it just like, you know, it just it makes your own mental well-being quite tough.
I mean, at least if you're being moved on, if you've got some wheels under your house, it's a little bit easier than if you haven't. Because I mean, that must be, to a certain extent, one of the reasons why people feel actually I need a vehicle, because I keep getting moved on from place to place, whether it's private rented, squatting, or whatever. Is there anything that could change this?
Abandoned buildings need to be we need to have structures in place for people to be able to sort out abandoned buildings and whatever that they see fit. We need more trust in us as people. I think they're trying to create this narrative that us as human beings are unable to look after ourselves and we need more police power because we're unruly. And when you do that, you force people to get angry and feel frustrated and maybe act unruly because they're being told that that's all that they are. And it's just these weird kind of childish, the kind of narratives that are being forced upon people, when actually we just want to be respected, understood, accepted in whatever way. And I think that's all people are asking for, is a bit of respect and not to be told, well, if you don't live in a house or you don't live in the specific way, you don't deserve to be here. That needs to change.
Yeah. I mean, this is reminiscent, actually, of 1930s Germany. This is one of the first groups that was targeted, along with the trade unionists, was the travellers and the gypsies and itinerants by the Nazis.
Yeah. This has been reflected upon quite a bit. And I also wanted to say there was a homeless guy called Bob, who I've spoken to, and he's done some interviews as well, but I'm not sure if you've heard about this story. But he was just recently sat outside Sainsbury's. It's his normal place where he sits. And he was being told by the police that he was going to get done for criminal for trespassing, and that he was better off in prison. It would do him good. Give him a couple of months to sober up. He's never been in prison before. And these are what his only options. Go to prison. It will sort you out. That's a rat.
Absolutely disgusting, really. The idea, I mean, I certainly remember when in the 1970s, where pretty much everyone was either housed or offered a house. And now we're in a situation where we're in this housing crisis.
What I also noticed is that it's a lot of young people were like upset on Sunday. It was all sorts of people, but it's a lot of young people were upset at the moment because we don't know what future we're walking into. And I just think like a future where we don't have autonomy, because that's what this is. This is a direct attack on our autonomy as human beings. And they just want us to be registered. They want to know every single little last place that we've been and where we go. We're being surveillanced. And if we're living in the woods somewhere peacefully, we're watching the butterflies in the morning and just trying to have an easy life, that's not acceptable, apparently. No.
Well, it sounds like a rather nice way to live, actually, to me. Possibly more natural than in a tower block or cooped up in a little bedsit. But anyway, what's the best way to follow what's going on with the various campaigns involved with this?
The best way to follow it, I guess, would be there is a Linktree that you can find resources. On Linktree, it's called Where Do We Go? And on there, there's a letter you can write to your MP. That's a really powerful form of being in support. Everyone write to your MPs, even if you want to write your own one. And then there's plenty of resources that are going to be updated just to, share information, all the good things, just get people in the know, get people to learn about how they could, you know, live on the land and be more in touch with the land, or, you know, the different options that there are or should be available to them. But there's a few really good organizations that are out there, like NFAT, they're a great traveler organization. Traveler Times, you mentioned, are really good. FFT are really important as well. And then, yeah, there's the Right to Roam website, which is also another kind of thing, and there's a lot of land ownership history there, which is just really interesting.
Well, that's it. It's fascinating, isn't it, how they privatized the land before Margaret Thatcher. And there's also these hashtags, so there's Right to Reside, and also this Resist Anti-Trespass, which has got all sorts of links to the new law and what is being proposed, which
I don't want to be too linked. Right to Reside are like Resist Anti-Trespass is one, but Right to Reside is the one that we're focusing on, because it's a little bit more focused on the Romani Gypsy traveller communities. So if it was to be around Resisting Anti-Trespass is like a little bit broader, but it is all the same thing. But yeah, same, but different.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Cool. Thank you.